Hey everybody, welcome to Both Mics. I am Mike Sofka, waiting for my partner in crime, Mike Taylor, to join us here on show 144. Thank you for tuning in. While we're waiting for Mike, this is football season just starting. I know it kicked off here recently, but there's still time for you to win in fantasy football. Look me up. You can check me out at winningfantasyfootball.com or hallofamefantasyfootball.com. I can help you with your season-long fantasy football league. I can help you with daily fantasy if you want. Look, I've done well in fantasy football, and I like sharing those experiences with other people. I like other people that have never experienced the glory of winning their league's championship. I even have a playoff guarantee. I guarantee you'll make the playoffs in your league. Looks like our friend Mike is going to join us here in just a second. He's outside knocking. I'm letting him in the door here. I don't know if you could see these. Cage, the screen behind me here. You may see the light changing a little bit there.
Hey,
there he is.
There he is.
Sorry, Mike.
Good morning.
Good. You see the subtle shades of light changing behind me here?
Yeah, is that the light inside the pool?
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. It is. Pretty cool. Huh?
Yep.
Pretty cool.
It's actually called a SAM light.
A what?
SAM. I don't know what it stands for. It's just what the name of it is.
A SAM light, S-A-M.
S-A-M.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was nervous the first time I changed that light bulb. You ever change that light bulb?
No, dude. I've been fortunate enough not to have to do it.
Take the cover off underwater. You take the bulb out underwater, and you put the new bulb in underwater, and then it turns on in your hand, and I'm like, holy fuck, why am I getting electrocuted? I have no idea what's going on here.
Right? I thought it was something you unscrewed from the side of the wall, took out and put on the deck, changed the light bulb, and then put back in.
Nope.
Yeah, I would not change that light bulb.
Yeah, I'm the only dude in the pool. Everybody's like, oh, you're changing the light? I'm going to get out of the pool over here. You know, it's like going to take a bath with a toaster oven. Welcome to Both Mics, everybody. This is what is this? Episode what?
144.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Which is a gross. By the way.
Yes. Yes. Bro. Both Mics is a show about nothing and everything. I am Mike Sofka, and that is Mike Taylor.
Welcome, right. Welcome.
And we're Both Mics. See what we did there?
Both Mics, yes, yes. You can find us anywhere podcasts can be found.
Find us where you find stuff.
Stuff. Things. When you find things.
According to NewYorkPost.com, the U.S. housing market to remain, quote, especially frigid as mortgage rates spike. According to Redfin. You find that, Mike? Is that happening? You're in the industry.
Rates actually went up again for the company that I work with last week. Last week or the week before it? Last week.
They just went up, and the Fed's encouraging them to jack them up again.
Yeah. The portfolio product that we offer is, you know, and what people don't know is a portfolio product is a mortgage product that is run by the company. There's, you know, FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, those are all government-backed mortgage products, but the actual product that the company that I work for has, they went up a quarter point, and that's that's three-fourths a point in the past 2 months, 2.5 months. So yeah, almost a complete point up from what they were. So they're going to keep going. We'll see.
Well, this is what gets me. This is according to the Wall Street Journal, so it must be true. Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City leader Esther George said Friday that the central bank, must press forward with rate rises to help reduce very high levels of inflation. Dude, that's like pissing gasoline on a fire. It makes absolutely no sense. You need to raise rates to combat inflation. Think about that. Think about that. Does that make any sense to you as a mortgage insider?
No.
Does raising rates combat inflation?
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. These are our leaders. These are the people taking us to the world's end here, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah. So essentially, raising the price of money is going to reduce the price of goods?
Yes. Buddy, what? Our dollar has never been worth less. In 1917, when we first went on the gold standard, if you took an ounce of gold, okay, it was $33, okay, for an ounce of gold. and you buried that ounce of gold in your backyard. And right next to it, you made another hole and you took $33 and you put it in the ground next to it. When you dig that shit up now, like almost 100 years later, that gold is worth almost $2,000. That $33 is still worth $33.
Right.
Our currency has devalued so much over the years. You could take a stack of money like this that used to be able to live on for a while. That's the reflection of where we are in gold right now. There's a big stack of money. And the stack of money where we used to be, or where we really are now when we consider the U.S. dollar, is somewhere in that microscopic little thing. Yeah, dude, it's brutal, dude. It's brutal. That's why houses are... You mean tell me all these houses have increased in value, Mike? You're in the industry. Do you think all these houses have increased in value, or do you think it's devaluation of the currency?
I think it's the increase in value.
Really?
It probably a combination of both.
How much did your home go up? Give me a percentage. You don't have to give me a dollar amount, but maybe a percentage. How much your home went up in the past year or two?
2 years?
Yeah.
40%? No,
20%. 40%?
Yeah, 40%.
Did you put in a pool, Mike?
No.
Did you put in a golf course?
yes, we
did. A tennis court? Do you have a free bar that people can come by and say, how did your house magically in 2 years go up 40% in value? How does that happen? What did you do? How did you make that happen, Mike?
It's a matter of what people will pay for it.
Right. It's a matter of what people will pay for it. But when you talk about such large numbers like that, like our inflation, which we're not in a recession, just ask our federal government. They'll tell you if at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, even though our gross domestic product has been on a decline for the past two consecutive months, which is the literal definition of a recession, instead, they're changing the definition of recession. They're changing the definition so they don't have to use that word. And the third quarter in a row of negative GDP is fixing a hit. That would put us into a depression. So look this up. I'm not making this shit up, folks. I watch this stuff. I watch money. That's what I like to do. So my point is this. There's no way in the past 2 years your house went up 40%, dude. That what that would mean, and I'm just going to use round basic terms for the basic stoned guy that's watching or listening to this that he can understand. You're telling me you bought a house. I'm going to use a round figure here. I'm not insulting you. I'm just using round numbers. Let's say you spent $100,000 on this house. That means 2 years later, it's worth $140,000, and you didn't do shit to improve it. Buddy. And it's happening to everybody. And you want to know what's worse? Is all these people are going and they're taking out money when rates are high as they've ever been almost in our recent history. And they're borrowing against it, getting that money at the most expensive point. Does that make any sense?
No, that's why we haven't done it, you know, because we want to add on, we want to do things, and I'm not going to do it and put myself in a position for 30 years to pay at a higher interest rate.
Or so that you have negative equity in 2 years when this shit hits the fan.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I know, dude. I was in that crash back in the day, dude. Back in 2008 or whatever. I mean, I bought at the high time. I paid all the money. I paid all the way. I had the biggest house, the nicest house, the one with the nicest pool on the block. I mean, everything was fucking beautiful about that house. You saw it. It was a nice little house, right? Yep. And sure enough, dude, took a bath on that house, dude. I took a fucking bath on that house. Crazy. Nope. Are in the mortgage world, do you think, how long do you think things are going to go like that before they, you know, correct or self-correct? Or is there going to be a self-correction, you think? Or you think it's going to go way down and then come back up and self-correct? Or how do you think?
I don't think it's going to be as bad as last time in 2008, 2010. It's going to correct, but I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think they're catching it now, and they're putting things in place to kind of ease all the potential BS that could happen.
Quantitative easing.
What's that?
There's a term, quantitative easing.
Quantitative easing.
Sparks fly over Cineworld bailout, but judge says, I'm not going to sleep until we get those employees paid. Bankrupt chain has $4 million cash on hand. I'm talking about the company that owns Regal Cinemas. This is according to Deadline.com. The bankrupt team just has $4 million on hand. They need to, they're not going to make payroll. That's how bad it is.
Wow.
A federal judge sent a proposed $1.9 billion financing package for bankrupt Cineworld back to the table for a redo, but he's committed to approving some kind of cash injection quickly for Regal Cinema's parent. I don't understand. Where's this money coming from? Who's paying this money? Is it another AIG from back in the Obama-Bush fiasco where it's, oh, they're too big to fail, so we're just going to give them money? And then what do? All the high mucky-mucks in the company take out a fat bonus, and then they raise rates and everything for everybody. What the fuck did that accomplish? Now it costs $184 for two people to go to a movie?
Yeah, Regal's a nice cinema, too, you know, but... Yeah,
I haven't been in a movie in forever, dude. Last movie I saw in a theater was that shark movie.
That shark movie?
Yeah, the one from Jersey. Or New England.
Oh, Jaws.
Yeah, that's the last movie I saw in a theater. Yeah,
1975.
Cineworld filed for Chapter 11 in the Southern District of Texas yesterday with a so-called DIP, a debtor in possession, a loan from a consortium of lenders to keep operating while it cleans up a balance sheet. Well, there you go. That's the answer to where they got the money. But right. Judge Mervyn Isger nixed the $1 billion of the total earmark, not for operations, but to refinance pre-petition loans from the same group of debt holders. I can't make this shit up, dude. I can't read this shit anymore, dude. Just sell off your cinemas. Sell all the shit to AMC or somebody else, or get let's get Musk involved. How about that?
Yeah, he's not busy. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I think the movie cinema thing is going away, dude. All the streaming and shit.
There's too many, and the thing is, it was all right like back in the day when there was like one or two movies, you know. Now like every movie theater has to play every movie, and like. How many movie theaters do there need to be in one town? You know, I'm going to an old school movie theater next week called the Epic Theater here in San Antonio. Where do I live? St. Augustine. For Clerks 3. Going to see that. So I'm going to go see Clerks 3 here next week, and then next month I'm going to see it again in at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando. With a Q&A.
Get this. The judge also offered a high guaranteed yield of more than 20% to lenders willing to advance the cash to Cineworld. This is like a buy here, pay here place. This is like Buddy's Home Furnishings or Champion Rent-to-Own or fucking one of those title loan places or one of those places that payday cash loan.
Regal Cinema, brought to you by AmScott.
Yes. Do your taxes in the lobby while you get your popcorn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Movie theaters are great. You know, I'm not a fan of like now they have recliners. All the freaking movie seats are reclining and they have heat vibrating. I can't do that. I have to sit like in a normal seat and watch a movie. I'm not putting my feet up to watch a movie. Sorry.
I like sitting near the cripple seats there because they got that bar right there and you can put your feet up on it and lean back, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen it. But then, you know, you gotta get your $14 popcorn and drink.
Now, are you a shoes off or a shoes on guy at the indoor movie theater?
What are you, a Bulgarian? Shoes off in a movie theater?
Yeah, you take your shoes off and you put them on the ground and you put your feet on top of your shoes so you're not touching the sticky ground, but your feet are out of your shoes, you know.
You want me to chase you with a stick? Take your shoes off near me in a movie theater. Fucking
feet. It's not like my feet smell or nothing, dude. I'm good. What if I have flip-flops on? Can I take my flip-flops off and put my feet on top of my flip-flops?
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Whatever, yeah.
Now, what if I put my bare feet up on that rail by the cripple seat? You want to see my bare feet in a movie?
You want to get chased by with a stick? freaking vulgarian.
When was the last time you took the kids not long ago to see a movie not long ago, right?
I took Xander, yeah. A month or two? July. So 2 months ago.
How was your overall, not the movie, but the movie cinema experience? How was it?
No sticky floors. It wasn't IMAX, but it was kind of like IMAX Junior, if that makes sense.
So like a curved screen?
Yeah, yeah. And it was good. It was good. It was a yeah, I think it wasn't like an IMAX screen, but it was like the competitor of IMAX. You know? It was like
Flomax.
Yeah. I Dave or something like that.
Flomax is a urinary drug. It helps you pee.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, it was clean, nothing sticky. Popcorn and soda was $15. The stereotypical guy in a wheelchair taking your ticket at the entrance. They always put a guy in a wheelchair taking your ticket for some reason.
Yeah, well, I went to a small, I think I may have told this story before. I went to Lisa and I, when she was in Atlanta for a little while, I was in Central Florida, and she had to be up there for family reasons, and we would meet up sometimes, like on a weekend or something, in Valdosta. That was kind of like halfway for us, okay? Right. About 3 hours or so each way. So we met up, and we were going to go do some sort of outdoor activity or something. You know, we had to get out of the hotel for a minute anyway. So we end up going to a movie theater. And I don't know if you remember back in the Jersey days, they used to have Jerry Lewis Twin Cinemas.
No.
Are you familiar with that? It was like as big as a 7-Eleven. And it was a Jerry Lewis movie theater. It was a twin cinema. And they had two of them side by. This is, I'm talking like in the 70s, before AMC and all this shit came out. Well, we go up. It looks like a little 7-Eleven place, this movie theater. They got two screens, all right? So I'm like, all right, I'll buy. And it was, there was a movie that was playing there called Brother, Where Art Thou? And I wanted to see it. Have you seen that movie?
No. It sounds like a Mighty Python movie.
No, it's not, dude. It's that George Clooney's in it. There's a couple other people in it. It's a very entertaining movie, dude. You should see it. You should watch it. It's not exactly a kid's movie, but it's not a lot of cursing and nudity. It's just the kids aren't going to understand what's going on. So we go into this movie theater. We go up to the window, which is as soon as it's right by the curb. The window's right there on the curb. So I'm actually standing on the street, and I'm talking to the guy, and I'm like, yeah, we'll have two. And it's the pimply-faced kid. All right, here's your ticket, sir. You know, and he gives me my ticket. And then he runs out the back door to the ticket booth. So we go in the door next to the thing, and there he is waiting to take our ticket. Like, wow, we could have done all that up there. So he's like, how are you, sir? Like, he just met me. Like, he didn't fucking just talk to me a minute ago, right? So wow. I'm like, get out of here. So I'm like, aren't you? And he just kind of smiled, and he ripped the ticket. For some reason, you had to rip the ticket to show, you know, because Lord knows I'm going to hand it to 20 other motherfuckers who are going to come in this place in Valdosta, Georgia. We're the only two fucking people in this movie, okay? So we go over, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to get a soda. So I walk over to get a soda, and dude's trying to outrun me to the snack counter. And he hops over the side, and he gets back, and he goes, hi, sir, how are you? Like, he hadn't seen me before again. And I'm like,
wow,
really, dude? I just fucking saw you twice. So I go, what's the biggest soda I can buy that will fit in a cup holder? He goes, I don't understand your question. And I said, okay, your seats, do they have cup holders? Yes. Okay. What is the largest cup that I can buy that fits in the cup holder? I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that. I'm like, all right, just give me the biggest fucking cup you have. How about that? Okay, and I'll take a large popcorn, okay?
Because no one thinks beyond 2 minutes from now.
Yeah. So I go and we sit down, and we're literally the only two fucking people in this little theater here.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe it sits about 100 or so, and we're the only two in there. So we sit like dead middle, you know? And, you know, perfect acoustically, vision-wise, everything. Dude comes walking down the front with the Will Rogers Institute can. Hi, we're collecting for what? And he's doing his whole bit in front of the movie, in front of the screen before the movie starts. And at this time, I'll be passing the can around to, you can donate to the Will Rogers. Dude, I lost it. Dude. I couldn't take, I was laughing my ass off. But it was a great movie, dude. That's a great movie. You need to see Brother wow. World. That's a great movie.
The Will Rogers thing is great. I forgot yeah. that.
He was the only dude working in the whole theater, dude. The only dude. I bet you when he got done with the Will Rogers thing, he ran up and was the projectionist up top. I don't know that, but I'd be willing to bet that.
Yeah, yeah. If you saw nobody else and this guy was wearing all the hats, then yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, it's a hilarious. It was a hilarious trip to the movies. But anyway, great movie. So this is in the news, and I looked at this earlier, and I saved it for us, but I've already looked at it once. So, of course, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, whatever this is from here, doesn't want me to look at it a second time without paying them. But I'll give you the gist of it here. Breast implants may be linked to additional cancers, the FDA warns. No shit. Oh, yeah. You're putting silicone and plastic inside your body. What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. You're putting foreign objects into your body, of course. Yeah.
Now, I know for a while they made them with saline as well, okay? But the silicone feels more natural. So are you familiar with the fake breasts, Mike? Have you seen fake breasts in real life?
Yes. Yes, okay. I'm impressed.
Did you know they were fake going in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Were you told they were fake or you just knew?
I was told. Yeah.
Could you feel the difference?
Yes. Yes.
Were you okay with it?
No. No. Sorry, not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan.
I have some personal experience with breast implants as well. And I have an interesting story about breast implants, of course, because I have a story about every fucking thing, of course. There was this woman I was seeing, and I'm not going to get into any specifics here. I'm going to try to be very casual because somebody's going to figure it out. And she says after the first couple weeks or something of dating, she's like, I'm thinking about getting breast implants. Well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, what am I going to say? If I say yes and spike the ball and do a touchdown dance, you know, that's probably not the question. So I was all like, honey, I want you to do what you want to do. This is about you. It's not about anybody else. And deep down, I'm going, fuck yeah, yeah, get him, let's see him. You know, so she gets the implants, okay? Now, she has the straight-up silicone shit, okay? Now, I didn't know this, but when you have the silicone, you have to massage them daily. You have to do that. It's not, I'm not trying to be funny here. You literally have to massage them every day. So that was quite enjoyable, actually. I found it quite fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, the girl I dated, like, we dated, we became friends, and then, like, there was just, like, a point where she broke up with her boyfriend, and we kind of got together for a little bit, and, yeah. Yeah, not impressed with them. Wonder what happened to her.
How big would you say they were?
She was probably like a double D.
Oh yeah, that's too big, dude.
Yeah. No? Well, no, double D's not that big.
I don't know, dude. I like a fat C, maybe a D. Yeah, you know, I mean, more than a mouthful is a waist, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, not for me, of course. But anyway, all right, moving on. Let's see. I did. You want to know something? I want to give a shout out to Ancestry.com, okay? I have a lot of Southern people in one branch of my family tree. I mean, I'm talking fucking Alabama motherfuckers. I'm talking straight up tobacco chewing, front porch sitting, banjo playing, at a deliverance, fucking. That's what it is, okay? I found out that one of those people, at least I've only found one so far, but they all have relatives about the same age.
Yeah.
When I've gone back, one of them served in the Civil War for the Confederate Army.
Okay.
He was captured, exchanged back in a prisoner swap, went back to fight again and got killed in action. Died in the hospital or the field hospital or whatever.
Wow.
I found out later from digging a little further that the same group of people the same branch. All this time, I thought the name sounded kind of German to me, and I found that kind of fascinating because I've never been told I was German or anything. So I did a deep dive in the ancestry, and I got back to 1404, before Columbus even fucking came here, okay?
Okay.
They're from England. I'm fucking English, dude. I'm part English. I haven't narrowed down, and I'm not going to do the DNA test. I'm not going to give the Chinese government my DNA so they can experiment on how to kill me. So don't do that, folks. When you give your DNA, that's exactly what they do. They sell your DNA to the Chinese government. This is no bullshit. You can call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, but if 3 years ago I told you we were going to shut down the whole fucking world with a pandemic, you'd have called me nuts. So I'm telling you.
I wouldn't do it because my luck... My DNA probably was at a crime scene.
Yes, exactly. Or somebody's got my DNA and they're going to leave it at the crime scene.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's my thing with that. The ancestry thing's fun. I would suggest that for anybody. It's a good thing. I'm able to do that with my mom and my dad right now, and I really enjoy that. It's like an hour here, an hour there, because if you do too much of it, you start going down rabbit holes, and you start getting blurry-eyed, and you start getting confused at what you're looking at when you're like, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, my God, I didn't know that, you know. And then through the whole thing, I'm meeting people who have family trees with some of the same people on that tree, and you're able to communicate with them through direct message. Now, it's not an instant direct message unless they happen to be online at the same time you are, but I've been fortunate enough, there's been a handful of people that have been doing this for quite a few more years than I have. That's how I got back to 1404. That's how I found the Revolutionary War. I had somebody from the Revolutionary War, somebody from the War of 1812, somebody in the... Dude, it's friggin' crazy, dude. I'm serious. It's blowing my mind. Like, I don't know, because I have some English roots. In the Revolutionary War, was he fighting for England? I don't know. Right. I'm trying to find out. Yeah.
Right. I know I have some English in me, but mostly Italian, some German. So.
That used to be a running pickup line of mine. You have any Ukrainian in you? No. You want some?
Right.
So the SEC, the SEC chief, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, has come out and said, this is according to MarketWatch.com, these are not laundromat tokens. He's talking about cryptocurrency. The SEC chief sends warning to the crypto industry. Well, yes, they are, dude. It's like anything else. It's like money. It's like gold. It's like cars. It's like everything else. The value of something is what the demand is going to make it. It's supply and demand. And right. Just because it costs 38 cents to make something doesn't mean it only has a specific value. It could be worth $10 million. Who am I to say? I'm going to let the market dictate what things are worth. When you take away that marketability, then you have a problem. But he's saying that there needs to be government control with these cryptocurrencies. Now, it's my experience that anytime the government, which gets fatter and fatter every day because they like control, they want to control everything we do. We don't need that. Let the market tell us what shit's worth. I don't need the government stepping in and going, no, that's not worth that much. You can't do that. Or you can't spend that much. I'll spend what I want to fucking spend. And if I don't want to spend anything, I won't spend anything. It's not your job as the government to tell me how much something should be.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying since the day I've heard of it that cryptocurrency is a whole Ponzi scheme.
It is. So. It's all fake. Yeah. Mikeism number one. It's all fake. Here you go. It's in black and white, dude. It's all fake, dude. A vast majority of the nearly 10,000 existing crypto tokens are securities being issued to the public in violation of federal laws. That's what they're saying. So if you own crypto, you're in violation. If you bought crypto or sold crypto, you're in violation of federal law. I don't agree with that. Here's a piece of paper. It has my gum in it. It's a gum wrapper. Okay, it's worth a dollar. I'll sell it to you for a dollar. Now, if you buy it for a dollar and you sell it to somebody else and you get $2 out of it, God bless you. I'm down. We both know it's a piece of trash and doesn't mean anything. It's the value that we put on it. That's like our currency. Like we've talked about the devaluation of the currency. If people don't have faith that this is worth a dollar, or when you sell it, they don't have the faith that this is worth $2, you're not going to get it. You're going to get what the market will dictate that it's worth. Maybe right. It's only worth 50 cents and you lost 50 cents. That's what we're talking about, people. It's as simple as that. It's not fucking rocket science. You don't need the government stepping in and telling you how to do everything in your life, because they're going to find out a way to tax you on it. They're going to find out a way that they can siphon off the money for themselves. That's what this is all about. So, yes, I like cryptocurrency. No, I'm not overly invested in it. Mike, you think it's all fake like I think it's all fake. But if you can make money on something that's fake, doesn't that sound beautiful? It's like making money on air in a bag.
Right. Fart in a jar.
Yeah, like potato chips. They make money on a full bag, even though they fill that bitch only half full.
Now, there's a reason why they do that.
I know. It's funny, though. Go ahead, Potato Man. Give us the reason why they do that.
Because it's Friday.
Because it's less breakage?
Yes.
Because they're correct. Floating in the bag in the air? There's helium in there?
Yes, exactly. They're floating.
They're individually wrapped chips so they don't touch each other.
Like Pringles, they're stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did see a dude one time at a festival wearing nothing but a Pringles can. That was unique.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't mean to see it. So I found it interesting that around the same time this guy comes out and says all the cryptocurrency is fake and all this shit, because I think it's fake, but right. Who are they to tell me what I can and can't do? And around the same time, this is according to ARSTechnica.com, feds claw back 30 million of cryptocurrency stolen by North Korean hackers.
Wow.
Now, are you following what's going on here? The federal government is stepping in and telling you that it's not worth anything, it violates the law, and by the way, look, only thieves and people of ill repute use cryptocurrency. Why would they do that? Because they want to make the fucking cryptocurrency money for themselves. The central bank is trying to put out the CBDC, the central bank digital currency. It's not going to be Bitcoin. It's not going to be any. It's going to be their own shit. You know what's going to happen? I like it, Mike. I like it. Yeah. You know what's going to happen? All these other ones are going to take a shit. And this central bank one is going to try to take off. But I don't think it's going to lift the ground. I think the whole system is going to fall apart before that. We could be in for a large economic collapse. I'm not the doom and gloom guy. I'm just reading the tea leaves here and reading the signs. Two consecutive months of GDP. And then a third month coming up. We're already in the recession. They're denying it. They're changing the definition of the word so they can say it's not a recession. And we're heading to a depression. But they also put out another story. According to CNNBusiness.com, so this must be true, the U.S. dollar is strong. Stop. Just stop already with that. Do you think the dollar is strong, Mike?
Here's where, like, the way they word things mislead you, all right? The U.S. dollar is strong. I'll bet you if I open it, this is my computer right over here. I bet you if I open it up and read it like you're going to do right now, it's going to talk about how we're strong in comparison to third world countries and other places around the world.
You're talking.
Yeah. Well, dude, I don't need a news story to tell me that. You know, it's always been that way. Yeah. You know, we might be sucking, but we're not sucking as bad as those people.
The euro is on a 20-year low against the greenback. The British pound is at its lowest level against the dollar since 1985. The Japanese yen is down because the dollar is so strong. No, it's an entire worldwide economic collapse. They lost the cover story, which was the pandemic. They tried to get another cover story, which was the war in Ukraine. They don't have a cover story. That's why this is wide out in the open. So what do? This is a good time to release the Queen's death. She's been dead a long time, dude. Not a lot of people realize that. When was the last time you saw her?
Oh, last week. We had a hot date. We
exactly.
See
what I'm doing?
We had tea and scones.
Hey, would you like to give it to Will Rogers? There you go. What is that?
This is 10 yen.
Okay. Well, how much is that worth?
Like 37 cents. I forgot I had it in here, and I actually looked it up the other day, and it was like 37 cents. I was like, you know what? Why can't 10 yen be like, you know, $10,000?
Yeah. So these Einsteins, like Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, these Einsteins say secretly, this is behind closed doors, they don't want anybody to hear this, they secretly want the unemployment rate to go up 4 or 5 or 6% because inflation will probably be tamed a bit. See, if you have more unemployed people, that'll correct inflation. Just like raising Fed rates are going to, this is what, it's, dude, I can't make this shit up. This is how stupid CNN is. This is how stupid the Fed is. This is how stupid the central bank is. This is how stupid Jerome Powell is. And people are going, oh yeah, well, they must know what they're doing. No, they fucking don't. We're crashing the whole world's economy at once with no cover story. That's why it's easily visible. Read the story I sent, dude. I'll post the link to this story. It's on CNN. It must be true. Fuck. Enough ranting and raving. So here's an interesting story, though.
Yeah.
The guy who was the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, did you hear about that?
No.
He fell out of his office building window.
Yeah, okay, I did hear something about that.
The Jenga building. They said, now they're saying it was a suicide. But first they said he fell out the window. I didn't know he did business with Hillary Clinton. This guy just fucking winds up dead. You know what he did? He made Bed Bath & Beyond like a Ponzi scheme. He fucking cooked the books to increase the stock prices. Made all kinds of money. With his Ponzi scheme, he found that he was at the point of no return. He couldn't keep robbing Peter to pay Paul. He was found out. So he fell out of a window. I'm sure he has some sort of clause in his insurance policy to his family that if he commits suicide rather than falls out of a window, I'm sure they don't get paid.
Right.
It's sick, dude. They call that building that he jumped from, they're saying he jumped now. That's the wording now. It's no longer he fell out of the window. It's jumped. Because fell makes it sound like there's something nefarious, which there was. His name is Gustavo Arnold, the chief financial officer of Bed Bath & Beyond, died by suicide now, September 2nd, by jumping from the 18th floor of 56 Leonard Street. The news spread quickly across social and traditional media. Not only was Arnell a top executive of a major retailer, but the Tribeca condominium where he perished, known colloquially as the Jenga Tower for its unusual design, has come to the city's priciest apartments, with sales routinely costing tens of millions of dollars. Mike, would you spend tens of millions of dollars on an apartment in New York?
In New York City? No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's unbelievable the price of stuff in New York City. It's crazy.
Millions of dollars, and it's an apartment.
Yeah. Yup. So who knows?
It goes on to say later on here, this is according to the realdeal.com now, consider the Upper East Side co-op at 850 Park Avenue where designer Kate Spade was found dead of suicide as well.
Nice.
So all these people, they have like millions of dollars to spend on apartments and they're killing themselves? Give right. me millions of dollars. I won't be fucking killing myself, that's for sure. It sold, that apartment that she committed suicide in, a murder apartment, sold for $5.8 million just months after being put on the market for $6.35 million. Heath Ledger's 2008 overdose at 421 Broome Street didn't stop the owners of the triplex penthouse from flipping it for a $14 million profit. The $49 million deal was one of the priciest last year. Ledger had been renting a pad on the fourth floor. So here's my question, Mike. How the fuck do these people afford this shit? They have to steal money from the stock market. They have to steal money from the average day Joe. How else do you afford a $10 million apartment, dude?
Dude, it's the whole notion back in the day. It takes money to make money. You know? Yeah. It's like when you bet on roulette, you put $1 down on number 23 and you win 35 bucks if you win. You put $1,000 down, you win $35,000. So, you know, exponentially, these people make more money, you know? And, you know, granted, we trade our time for dollars and they have more than one revenue source. And like I said, you bet big, you win big.
All right. All right. Well, this guy bet big and he lost because he couldn't cover his tracks well enough.
Yeah. And this
he should have called Bernie Madoff or somebody.
This apartment building, is it 850 Park Avenue?
No, that was talking about another one. But it's called the Jenga building. If you look up Jenga building, you'll find it probably. J-E-N-G-A.
Yeah. Looking at the apartment building where him and whatever. Oh, what was her name? Spade? Kate Spade?
Kate Spade.
Their apartment building. Yeah. Their apartment building is an old building. But
yes,
did you know that Kate Spade is David Spade's sister-in-law?
No, I did not know that.
Kate Spade married David Spade's brother. I did not know that until my wife told me, because my wife is a freaking Kate Spade fan.
Yeah, well, I couldn't fucking tell you who Kate Spade is, so I've probably seen her a million times. I probably just don't know who it is.
I put in the Jenga building in New York City. All right. Dude, you gotta Google it. Yeah, it's
it Jenga looks that way, don't it?
Yeah, Jenga, also, you know, slash Tetris. Wow, that is one ugly ass building.
And he fell out of that, and now after a couple days, now they're considering a suicide because everybody's like, "Stop! He didn't fall. Stop."
How have I never seen this building before? You know, granted, it's newer. But how have I never seen a building that looks like this ever before? Come on.
Because you don't do a lot of business in Manhattan, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, now that the freaking tolls to get through the tunnels like $15.
Yeah, and then $28.50 on the way out. I was like, this motherfucker thinks we're drunk. They're trying to overcharge us for this toll. No, that's how much it is. Looked at the signage and everything. It was more money to get out than it was to get in. It was fucking crazy, dude.
56 so, Leonard Street. Yeah. Jenga Tower. So, 821 feet high. 57 story skyscraper. When was it built? Wow. When was New York City founded? No. I don't want to know that. Interesting.
Alexa, find the answer to the question Mike's looking for so we can get on with the show, please.
Hello, Alexa? Alexa? We don't have one in this room. 821 feet high. 2017.
Yeah, so it's fairly new then. You haven't been back to New York since then, right?
No. No.
Yeah, there you go.
13 was the last I was in New York. Almost 10 years.
I just missed it. I was there in 16. According to WKBN.com, certain masks for BiPAP and CPAP machines have been recalled, according to U.S. Food and Drug Administration, because Lord knows, after all the stuff that's gone on with the pandemic and everything, the FDA, the CDC, these are reliable people that we can count on. Mike, you wear a CPAP.
Yes.
You finally did it? I talked to you about it for a while. How long have you been on it?
Since I turned 50, so about 5
years. Oh, yeah. I remember, because you were telling me about the gurgling sound, so you don't wear it.
Well,
are you wearing it now?
I had one previously when I lived in Kissimmee, and okay. It was a different model, yeah.
So are you wearing it now? Are you sleeping better?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You're not dying in the middle of the night?
I can't, right? I can't sleep without it. How's that for a
week? Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, bro. I'm right there with you. So it's a CPAP? It's the continuous pressure?
Yes.
Or is it a bite? Okay. All right. Nope. Well, the FDA says Philips Respironics has recalled certain masks used with bilevel positive airway pressure, also known as bilevel PAP, BiPAP, or BPAP machines, and continuous positive air pressure, CPAP machines, due to safety concern that involves magnets. More than 17 million masks are impacted by the recall, according to the press release from the FDA. Five mask types are infected by the recall: Dream Wisp, Dream Wear, Amara View, Wisp, and Wisp Youth Mask. I got news for you. If your kid needs a CPAP because he's too fucking fat, you need to stop feeding that kid stupid shit. Now, right. If he has some sort of medical condition, I get it. But There's no reason why a kid should be wearing a CPAP. The magnets can affect the movement of certain implanted metallic metal devices, which could cause injury or death to the mask user or the person sleeping near the mask. I don't get that. So if I have a pacemaker, it's going to magnetically pull me over. I mean,
how strong are these magnets?
Yeah. Phillips reports 14 serious injuries, including pacemaker failure, arrhythmia, seizures, and irregular blood pressure recalled to the latest mask. So that just goes to show and tell what I've said for years. We are, as humans, we have an electromagnetism about us. I've been known with my electromagnetism in my body to destroy a computer just by sitting at it. I'm just saying, I could fry a computer.
Sitting on it or at it?
At it, near it. At it, touching it, looking at it, thinking about it, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I can crash a computer, that's for sure. So here's my question, Mike. Do you have one of these masks, or do you know if that's your mask type? Or
No. But dude, I don't change out my stuff as often as I should. And, like, my insurance was so good that they were sending me stuff constantly. And I literally have a box of stuff. Yeah. I haven't bought anything for my CPAP machine since I moved back to Florida. It's been 2 years, and I have a box of masks and hoses and the headgear. And all. Dude, I have enough filters that I can roll my own cigarettes.
Yeah, I had a little bit of backup, and then the company called me, and the company I was getting it from, and they're like, yeah, we need to talk about your bill. And I'm like, what bill? Because I had a thing. I would call them once every 3 months, or they would call me on an automated thing, and my thing was this. I will take whatever the insurance will buy. If the insurance will buy me a whole new fucking machine, send me a whole new fucking machine. If they're just going to send me one mask, send me one mask. If they're going to send me five masks, send me five masks. Send me whatever they're going to allow. Well, these fucks were overcharging me, and they didn't tell me that. And all of a sudden, I had a year's worth of fucking bill that they're like, oh, you owe us like $400. I'm like, the fuck I do?
Wow.
But I have several boxes of stuff, too, and I do that with medications and stuff like that. I like to have a little bit of a backup, and Lord knows, what if we have a pandemic or something? You don't know what the government's got planned for us next, so you got to have your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how long those machines are supposed to last, but you know, like I said, I've had it for, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yeah, I've had mine longer than that, and I'm worried about it because I'm thinking that there's some sort of technology I'm missing out on. Or something. Have you seen the thing with they implant something in you now?
Yeah, no, not doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm a bit nervous about that. But they're like, yeah, just keep the remote control with you, and you hold it up to you, and it turns it on or something. And
not happening. And then like, you know, someone turns on a microwave, and all of a sudden your heart pops like popcorn.
All of a sudden I start going... breathing heavy or something. Yeah, no, I'm out, dude. Yeah. No.
Yep. Amazing how it works. Do you put water in yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you're supposed to. That's the way it's made. But I had a friend who had the same machine as me, and we were on the Monsters of Rock cruise, and he's like, yeah, I don't put water in it. He's like, I just run it dry. So I'm like, you know what? Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
When I first started it, I had it dry, and then after a while, I was getting a sore throat, and I was very thirsty and stuff, and they were like, just put water in it. I'm like, just put water in it. And they're like, yeah, here's this thing, and switch out the machine, and they gave me one with the little reservoir thing, and you got to keep that thing clean. Do you have one of those so clean cleaning systems for yours, or do you just hand clean it, right?
Yeah, I hand clean it less often than I should.
No, I'm there with you, bro. I'm like, wow, this don't look right. This don't smell right.
You put it
shouldn't
on,
have gotten like, to this point.
You put it on, and you're like, oh, I guess I had garlic last night. Yeah. So and what's kind of cool about it is I'll take the hose off the back of the machine, and it actually fits right on the bathroom sink nozzle.
Isn't that great?
I'll turn the hot water on. I'll throw
run
the hose
it through,
back.
Hang
I'll
it over.
Let the water run for 5 minutes, come back out. Whip it around a little bit, dry it off.
Good makes to a go. Sound when you do it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, good to go. But yeah, you go to the airport, you go on a cruise, you see these guys with the same exact case that you have, you know? Like, I know what's in there. So, yeah. But it also sucks in a way, 3-day weekend to go to, you know, Universal Studios, you got to bring your freaking CPAP.
No, I get it. Yeah.
And I don't do it I don't do it because of it helps me sleep better or not. I don't know if it does, but the snoring, you know, it could be in a hotel room with the boys and my wife, you know, we're sleeping every night and you know, the snoring keeps her up. It's just it's one less thing to, you know, to just check off your list. One less thing to worry about is her bitching about you snoring.
Oh, absolutely, dude. That can destroy a whole thing. No. So, according to TheVerge.com, there's new accessibility and sharing features coming to the Android devices.
Okay.
I don't think I need this. They say you can stick a Bitmoji on your watch too. I don't think I need somebody. I don't know what they're talking about here. They're talking about Nearby Share, and I didn't know what Nearby Share was, but Google's AirDrop competitor is getting much needed update that allows users to easily send files between their own devices. And apparently, I just heard about this last week. Apparently, on a plane, any device that's nearby that's like yours, you can share photos and stuff with. So they kept sending, like, people were taking dick pics and sending them to the pilot on the plane they were waiting to go on. And he had to come over to ladies and gentlemen, it'd be appreciated if you stop sending pics through the share. If this continues, I'll return us to the gate, and you'll be escorted off the plane and arrested. We're 5 minutes behind, but we're going to make up the time in the air, folks. Why do they always do that? You ever notice that?
No.
Oh, buddy. This is your captain speaking. We'll be flying at 32,000 feet, at 700 miles an hour.
I think you need to have your permissions open, you know, in order to receive pictures.
I don't know anything about it, dude.
It's been that
It's
way,
interesting.
I wouldn't say 10 years, but yeah, you could like touch your phone and you could transfer information, pictures, all that stuff. Yeah, no need for it. I've never used it.
But see, this brings dating and meeting people. Like, used to be you'd go out to a bar, you'd have to buy somebody a drink or anything. You just snap a dick pic and send it to everybody in the bar and see who comes over and says hi.
Right. Well, yeah, I have a friend who would go to a party and just go to a woman. You want an F? You want an F? You want an F?
You
Someone
ask
nice.
enough of them, one of them's going to say yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you want to guarantee, you know, granted your pride and your ego will hurt a little bit, but you'll be guaranteed to go home with somebody.
One of my favorite stories like that. I was with a buddy at a bar, and he goes, watch this. And this girl comes and sits next to him. So we're talking, he's chatting her up, and he goes, hey, let me ask you a question. He says, would you sleep with me for $20? And she goes, no, what are you, crazy? I was just asking, I was just checking. How about 500? Would you sleep with me for $500? What the hell? Who do you think I would? What do you think? I have $10,000 on me right now. Would you sleep with me for $10,000? No, I would never do that. On this card here, I can give you $1 million. Would you sleep with me for $1 million? $1 million on that card? Yeah. You're gonna give me $1 million just to sleep with you once? Yeah. Well, okay, I'll sleep with you. Okay, now that we've established you're a fucking whore, now we just about negotiation. That's when all hell broke loose. That's like calling the bartender at the House of Blues a skank. It was not good. Sister, sister, can I get a drink over here? Sister, sister. She comes marching over. What did you call me? Sister, that's rude. That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. I'm not your. All right, skank. Boy, she came right over, dude. She was on me. She flew over that bar, dude. Crazy.
Nice.
We're out of time almost, dude.
Wow, yeah, look at
Yeah, another good show, dude. I like it. I like
that.
it. You got anything else?
I don't think so. Going to Cocoa Beach this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. A more popular podcast in Orlando is having a beach party. I'm going to the
When's that?
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Wow.
Tomorrow.
All right.
So,
Do
get
you have any
notification.
bulk mic stickers you can bring?
I have one bulk
You
mic
have
sticker,
one?
and this one's
All right.
backwards.
It's a silly putty sticker.
Exactly. Like my license plate over here. Backwards.
Listen, before we get out of here, I do want to give a shout out to my man Gino Losi, Ginolosi. He'll put you on the big fish. Call Gino Losi. Look him up on socials. Trust me, folks. He made me a fisherman, and I'm not a fisherman at all. Check out my friend Knight Fan Stan at Jet Set Printing. Knight Fan Stan, he's at the UCF game right now. They're playing Louisville. I'm sure they're beating the crap out of him. But in his day job, he prints. He does printing, Jet Set Printing. Go check out my man Knight Fan Stan for all your printing needs in Central Florida. And check out my friend Dustin Levine at the Melon Patch Theater in Leesburg. He does a fantastic job. So does his people. He takes this stuff serious, dude. I've known this guy a while. He does a great job there. Buy some advertising with him. Buy some tickets with him. Give those tickets to your employees, your friends. Go yourself. Community theater is a great thing. So go make that happen. Mike, anybody to shout out to? Or are you checking the UCF score for me?
I'm checking the UCF score. And okay. It used to just be able to put in like UCF score, UCF football, and it would come up.
Yeah.
Not no more.
They want you to look at all the other crap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So it's been 144, dude. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Yes. That's gross.
Yes.
144.
All right. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
Have a coconut
we'll get
smile.
You next time. All right. Bye.